Lord Shiva offered his prayer. Gopakala, the right time for your anger. For the purpose of annihilating the universe. Yuga Antaha, the end of the millennium. Te, by you. Hataha, killed. I am
this.
Asuraha,
great demon.
Alpukaha, very insignificant. Tatsutam, his son Prahlad Maharaj. Pahi, just protect. Upashtatam, who is surrendered and standing nearby. Vaktam, devotee. Te, of your lordship. Vaktuvatsala, O my Lord, who is so affectionate to your devotee. Translation, Lord Shiva said, the end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon, Haranyakashipu, has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect his son, Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. So purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The personality of Godhead is the creator of the material world. There are three processes in creation, namely creation, maintenance, and finally annihilation. During the period of annihilation, at the end of each millennium, the Lord becomes angry, and the part of anger is played by Lord Shiva, who is therefore called Rudra. When the Lord appeared in great anger to kill Haranyakashipu, everyone was extremely afraid of the Lord's attitude. But Lord Shiva, knowing very well that the Lord's anger is also his lila, was not afraid. Lord Shiva knew that he would have to play the part of anger for the Lord. Kala means Lord Shiva, Vairava, and Kopa refers to the Lord's anger. These words combined together as Kopa Kala refer to the end of each millennium. Actually, the Lord is always affectionate toward his devotees, even though he may appear very angry. Because he is avyayatma, because he never falls down, even when angry, the Lord is affectionate toward his devotees. Therefore, Lord Shiva reminded the Lord to act like an affectionate father toward Prahlad Maharaja, who is standing by the Lord's side as an exalted, fully surrendered devotee. So, Shivrudramaja Kopakalo Yugantaste Atoyam Masuropakaha Tatsudam Payupashritam Bhaktam Tehi Bhaktu Vatsala. So Om Ganat Midandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, generally, in this material world, we consider anger to be an anartha. Right? Anartha means something you don't want. Anartha. And there's many other anarthas, of course, but let's just talk about anger. And anger in this material world comes from frustration. Frustration meaning dhyayato vishyak sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama roda vijayate prada bhavati samma, etc. So, when you contemplate jaitovishya pumsam, when you contemplate sense objects, you get very attached. So the whole point is not to contemplate. Because we were talking last night to someone about how do you avoid getting attracted to the opposite sex? So, and I said, you don't contemplate. Of course, naturally, you know, when you look and you go, oh, that's nice. But then you should go, please. Of course, it'll be like the old days in the movement, like when the brahmacharis were walking around. Every time they saw a lady, they went, Hare Krishna! was really crazy. Saying, Maya Devi, Hare Krishna. So at least they were chanting Hare Krishna all day long, which was nice. And the ladies were doing Hare Krishna too. Everybody was chanting Hare Krishna when they saw each other. So the whole point is not to contemplate. That's a hard one. Because there's these three processes of the mind. Thinking, feeling, willing. Because when you think of something and you really contemplate it, you start to feel it after a while. And willing, then you do something. I mean, I'll give you a practical example with all of you. We'll do an experiment with everybody here in class right now. How about that? So, what's everybody's favorite food? I mean, everybody likes pizza, right? Am I right? So, all right, let me describe, you know, pizza with a lot of cheese, a tomato sauce, and spices, and, you know, nice smell, nice warm, and everything like that. Who here is salivating? Salivating, you know what that means? That means inside it, the saliva is actually producing more saliva in your mouth. Or I can talk about Duruka, I don't know, what everybody likes. What everybody likes here, or some sweet jalebis. Everyone likes jalebis, right? Hot jalebis. So that's the point. You're contemplating, when I talk about it, you start contemplating it, and you're feeling it already. And if I start talking about it enough and tell you meditate on it, think of it, you're going to, you men are going to tell your wives, cook some pizza for me tonight. Or jalebis or whatever it is. So that's thinking, feeling, willing. You understand? Because simply, it's a little thing. All I did was mention it, just words. Words are not the same as the object in the material world, are they? In the spiritual world, words are the same as the object. Like if I say Krishna, what? Krishna's there. But materially, I just gave you a designation for something already. You're getting lusty. Thinking, feeling, willing. And if I start mentioning it enough, if you don't get it, you're going to be like disturbed in your mind. So that's the point. Contemplating sense objects, attachment develops. Attachment becomes lust. Lust comes anger. So, how do you avoid that? I mean, it's very hard. So, and actually Krishna says in the Gita, another verse that's very important is that Karanam Dumi Sangasya Sadasa Janma Jonishu, that one actually becomes entangled in this material world because of Guna Sangha, because of association with the modes of nature. Just like if you listen to a certain type of music, you know, you start, just like last night we had this holy music. And if I was 20 years younger, I would have become a teacher. Like we have our disciple Nakula. Everybody knows Nakula? He's a dancer, boxer, whatever. Anyway, so he's, you know, he's hearing the music, which, wiggling around like a whatever. So that's, of course, that's, it was nice, it was spiritual. But what I'm saying is, by your association, you become influenced, whether it's a personal association, or whether it's music, or whether it's a Bollywood movie. I mean, people watch these Bollywood movies, I always talk about that in class. And then they develop this concept of what married life is, or romance is, isn't it? They watch it. And it's not real. So finally, when they get home and see their wife, and she doesn't look like a Bollywood actress, you know, it's just like they get frustrated. They say, oh my God, I've been contemplating, you know, they're watching this movie, you know, just so. These nice girls, you know, dancing around like that. And then, you're not like that. You're ugly. So anyway, was that, anyway, that's the nature of material beauty is the closer you get, it gets less beautiful. It's an interesting phenomena, isn't it? The closer you get to someone, like you try it sometimes, someone who looks really beautiful from like 100 meters away, you get real close to this. It's ugly. Or ask someone to open their mouth. Like at a dentist, that's ugly. Anyway, so the point is, by association, you develop this expectation, or here's the word I was looking for, an expectation about the material energy that's unrealistic. It's an unrealistic expectation you have about the material world, that everything is going to be wonderful, everything's going to be nice, and then you get angry. So that anger, getting back to the point, that anger is an anartha. And we have to learn how to control our anger. And the way we control, there's some practical methods for controlling the anger. First of all, you take responsibility for it. You don't blame someone else. You know, just like your home and your wife doesn't cook exactly what you wanted for dinner and you get angry with her. It's, you made me angry. You ever say that? Yeah. So, you made me angry. Or the wife talks back to you. That's even worse. So you're not supposed to talk back. This is not Vedic. Chanaka Pandit says, he says, apriyavadana, right? Aranyatena gantavya yadarani vyatagraham. You know that verse. That if your wife doesn't speak pleasing to you, head for the forest. Because your house is already like a forest. Unfortunately, the men head for the forest and then they find another girl in the forest. That's not what Chanaka Pandit meant. He meant you go to the forest and take sannyas. But they're going to the forest like the monkeys are in the forest. The monkeys are looking for different monkey. Lady monkeys. This is like I was in Vrindavan, Govardhan recently, and there's one male monkey, he has like 20 female monkeys. Isn't it? He has and because he's the strongest guy, so he kicks all the other males out. That's monkey life. And then when his son grows up, this is interesting, his son grows up, you know, one of the monkey, his sons, who's so cute, little tiny monkey. He grows up and he becomes stronger than the father. He kicks his father out. And he takes care of the whole, what's called the harem, you know, a whole bunch of monkeys. So, anyway, yatag, radyam yatagraham. So we have these expectations and then we blame others for our anger. He says, you're making me angry. And then, you know, even sometimes there's violence. You made me hit you. Stupid. Nobody makes you hit anyone else. It's your problem. So first of all, if you want to conquer anger, you have to take responsibility for it. Say, you know, I'm angry. Right. My fault. And why? Because then, you know, I'm frustrated and contemplating the sense object, so let me contemplate some Krishna consciousness. Let me chant. You know, what I find is a very nice cure for anger is that when you're finding yourself angry, take time out, you know, we call that like tea, go like that, time out. And take a long japa walk for about 3 hours. Chant 64 rounds, you come back, you see the world in a different perspective. It's nice. We have the perfect remedy for anger. Of course, if you're angry at Krishna, well, what can you do? If you're angry at Krishna, at least you're thinking of Krishna. Like Kamsa, he was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. Radhikashipu was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. So if you've got to be angry at someone, be angry at Krishna. So, anyway, that's material anger. What's being mentioned here in this verse is the spiritual anger of the Lord. And the Lord's anger is, first of all, he enjoys it because it's one of the indirect rasas, like we were talking about yesterday. And secondly, it's done out of affection towards his devotee, like Nrsimha Bhagavan, who's being mentioned here. But let's give some other examples, even of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya's devotee, Srivas Thakur, who was Narada Muni, was hosting Lord Chaitanya's kirtans in his house. It's called the Srivasangam. And while he was hosting Lord Chaitanya's kirtans, they would not allow any devotee to come in who was not a pure devotee. They kept someone at the door. That's called a bouncer. You ever heard of a bouncer before? Like they have bars, you know, bouncers. So they kept someone at the door to keep anyone out. They gave him a pure devotee test. I don't know what that test was. But they gave him a test. You know, couldn't come in. So there was one, gentleman. His name was Gopal Chapala. And Gopal Chapala was prevented from coming in. And he got really angry. And he thought, let me create some blasphemy or criticism of Srivas Thakur. So what he did is he took the ingredients for worshipping Durga and he put them, like vermilion and everything, and all the ingredients, and put them by Srivas Thakur's door at night. So when Srivas Thakur woke up, and of course for a Vaishnava, you know, we do respect Durga, but we don't do so much Durga Puja. I mean, we can respect Lord Shiva, Durga, and even Nanda Maharaj is described, he actually observed Shivaratri. But it was described as not on a regular basis. Sometimes he observed it. So Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. So anyway, so when Srivas Thakur woke up, he didn't take it seriously because a pure devotee is not really interested in reputation. Here in Fiji, everyone's interested in reputation, right? What are they talking about me behind my back? You know, everybody's just so worried about what people think and talk about them. But when I was young, we had this poem. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Did you ever hear that? Sticks and stones will break. What that means is that we should be worried about some dacoit coming and hurting us. But if someone says something nasty about us, they're our friends. He who criticizes me is my friend. He's helping me, you know, manadena. You know, be a little bit humble here in this world. Because right now our problem is we're proud, right? We're very proud. Ishwaraham aham bhogi siroham balavam sukhi. It's demoniac. I'm proud, you know. I'm a big guru sitting on a big seat. Everyone's offering obeisances to me. Oh, Ashivad, bless you. By my mercy. Just like if your guru, let's say if you have a disciple who does well in university, he said, by your mercy, Gurudev, I did well in the university. But actually, it's because of your hard work you did well. Anyway. So, getting back to the point. So Srivas Thakur, he didn't consider it very important. He just had it swept away. But this Gopal Chapala, he developed leprosy. And the leprosy was so bad that the worms and everything, used to have leper colonies here in Fiji many years ago. And the worms were just like, and now of course they have a cure for leprosy, isn't it? There's some cure. So, they were eating away. And this Gopal Chapala, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as the most munificent, and he begged Lord Chaitanya to cure him for forgiveness. And Lord Chaitanya got angry with him and he said, I curse you to be bitten by those same worms from millions of births. Oh my God. That's pretty bad, isn't it? It's because he was angry. Why was he angry? Because he loved Srivas Thakur. Simple. Because of his anger. Later on, this personality begged forgiveness from Srivas Thakur and was forgiven by Lord Chaitanya, and he was cured of his leprosy. I mean, that's there also. So, that's the point. I mean, when you offend a devotee, it makes the Lord angry with you. Any devotee. Devotee is so dear to Krishna. Sadhava Riyamayam Sadnam Riyam Dwam Madanyat Tena Janati Mahadevyo Managapi. What is the statement? Krishna says, my devotees are always thinking of me, and I'm always thinking of them, and they do not know anyone but me as theirs, and they do, and I do not know anyone but them as mine. So, you know, it's just like such a deep relationship. I mean, just like, let's give a material example of that. Let's say if I go up to your child, let's say your mother has a child, and I say, what an ugly child you have. You, is that your child is a monkey you gave birth? The mother will never forgive me. I become the eternal enemy of the mother. Right? And if I want to please the mother, father is not so much like her. Father's detached. But anyway, the father's just interested in money. He doesn't care about his kid. But anyway, so if I want to please the mother, then I say, what a nice kid you have. So attractive. It's like a Gandharva. Like Srimati Radharani coming down from the spiritual world. And the mother says, wow, what a great devotee. I want to be his disciple. Right? It's like that's what the politicians do. Sometimes they pick up the babies and they kiss, even, I don't know if they kiss babies anymore. They used to. Yuck. So, what a nice baby. Even though the baby has just done something in his diapers, anyway. And he smells like hell, anyways. So the politicians do that. So, Krishna is very similar with his devotee. If you praise his devotee, I mean, of course, we have that statement every morning, Yasha Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada, Yasha Prasada, Nagati Katopi. If we please Krishna's devotee, Krishna's pleased. It's a simple thing. That's how you become Krishna conscious. You know, you don't need some difficult process. You know, you don't have to force your mind to think of the Ashtakaliya Leela. Like you go to Vrindavan, for example, and so many devotees trying to force their minds, thinking of the eightfold pastimes of the Lord. Okay, now Krishna's waking up. And he's running away to go back home so they don't discover he's with Radharani. This is the first. You can see I've studied these things. Anyway, you know, different Ashtakaliyali means different parts of Krishna's day. Just to tell you what it means. But it's very easy. Prabhupada said it, deserve and desire. You just please a devotee. You please Prabhupada. And then you get pure Krishna consciousness and you displease Prabhupada. And you go to hell. You know, sometimes devotees think, you know, oh, I'm not getting enough nectar in this movement. I got to join some other nectar movement, like Sahaja movement or something, where I can understand I'm a gopi by dressing up like a lady. You see this in Vrindavan. You see the ugliest ladies you've ever seen in your life. They're men with a little beard. You know, not big beard, just little growth, and they have lipstick on, and they're gopis. I said, if they're gopis, I mean, Krishna's picked the wrong persons. I see nicer people in the material world than that. So anyway, that's not how you become Krishna conscious or running away to Radhakund. You know, sometimes people go to Radhakund and they hear, oh, you should join us, the Babaji's, because we know how to become Krishna conscious. But actually, Prabhupada said if one leaves ISKCON, thinks they're going to be Krishna conscious, living an hallucination. That means maya. So you just simply serve. And Prabhupada, by taking, serve his mission and take part in his mission, spread his mission. That's all you got to do. And the other devotees. Don't blaspheme a devotee, any devotee. Because they're all dear to Prabhupada. All these devotees are very dear to Prabhupada. And then you go back to God. Krishna doesn't get angry with you. Lord Shiva doesn't get angry with you. Durga doesn't get angry with you. And you got it made. That's a secret. Okay. On that happy note, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? No? Yes.
So how does the devotee, actually what happens is they, sometimes the devotees get hurt.
Get hurt, yeah.
They get hurt because that someone may have said something, someone may have done something. And hurt is not something that they are able to control. It just happens to them.
Yeah, it's painful.
About certain things, and then they may person who has been acting like that sometimes may not even be aware.
That's true.
So, but he has hurt a devotee and then he has also probably been angry. Thinking that the result may be good.
Well, sometimes in management you got to do things. You got to be a little heavy.
Yeah, so I'm wondering to what extent is it that if we see that it's having an adverse effect, then we do it?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, or should we never get heavy?
Heaviness is sometimes required, but you got to really judge and see how it's affecting the person.
It's often times we misjudge.
Yeah, that's true. That is actually true. I mean, I'll tell you, give you a practical example of my own life, how I misjudge. Or didn't misjudge, but you know, I was a little too heavy. This is recently. I was in Mayapur. And I told one of my disciples, who's actually from Fiji, his name is Nichikashori. You know Nichikashori? But she's moving to Australia. She was there, and I said, you show up at a certain time to cook for me. And she didn't show up until a half hour later, 20 minutes later. And by the time she came, I said to her, that's right, you can't cook for me. You know, not that I was screaming and yelling. That's not my nature. And then, and I said, I've already put someone else to cook for me. You're late. It's not the proper attitude towards the guru. And then she started crying. And then I felt extremely guilty. Because anything, the thing I don't like is a lady's tears. It just freaks me out. Anyway, so she started crying. I felt really bad. I said, all right, you can cook for me tomorrow. I'm happy with you. This is a good lesson. It's a good lesson. I'm very pleased. Now you've learned. You know, anyway, I mean, it was an important lesson for her, too, because if the guru says, you know, you're supposed to be at 3 o'clock and she comes at 3:30, it's not the right thing. So, you know, at that point I saw it was actually affecting her a lot. And so I pulled back a little bit. And, you know, I really wasn't angry. I was trying to teach the lesson. So sometimes it's required to do that. And I know that Śrīla Tamalakrishnamurti was sometimes very heavy with the devotees here. And one of the devotees from the West said to him, you know, son, why are you so heavy? And he said something like, you don't know how to deal with these people. And he was very successful. So sometimes heaviness is required with people, and sometimes it makes them really upset. But one should be, and then, you know, then if you find yourself too heavy, then you just, you can deal with it later on. You can deal, you know, ask for forgiveness. And, you know, there's all sorts of things you can do. But in management, sometimes it's required. I mean, Prabhupada was sometimes heavy, too. Probably a really heavy, in many instances, dealing with devotees who were close to him. Actually, Another point is, if the spiritual master gets heavy with you, that's indication of a close relationship. Because usually, I mean, I won't get heavy with someone who I don't know that well. But someone who's close to me, I'll get heavy with. And then in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, it was like that too. Lord Chaitanya got very angry with Jagannanda Pandit because he was advising Sanatana Goswami. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "That Jaga!" You know, he was just really heavy. "That Jaga, he doesn't know anything." And then Sanatana Goswami said, "Now I can understand Jaga is very close to you and I don't have such a nice relationship." So, generally, you know, probably got angry with someone, it indicated a very close relationship. So, of course, not that you should try to get the spiritual master angry with you so you have a close relationship. That's a different thing. You say, "Boy, I really want a close relationship. Guru Maharaj, I don't like you." That's a little bit different. But generally it does indicate, so we should see like that, that you have a close relationship. Yeah.
There's one more question to that. Someone is genuinely angry.
Yeah.
It's like, it's come to a point where it's genuinely angry for living.
That's not good.
It says that in that situation, he loses his intelligence.
That's right.
That's a really dangerous situation. What, if anything, can save such a person at that point in time? Like,
he develops a habit of taking a time out, like I said. Like there was I think it was Benjamin Franklin, who said, when you're angry with someone, you write a real heavy letter, put it in your desk, and go to sleep. And then wake up the next morning and tear it up. But unfortunately, we have email now. So you write this really heavy letter, you know, and then you press the send button. Joy! And you feel like so relieved. You know, it's like, yeah, technically it's called a catharsis. You know, you feel relief. And then you realize, oh my God, what did I say in that letter? And then you go on Google to try to figure out how to bring a letter back. And you find out there's no way. Isn't it? That's right, I've done that sometimes. You Google how to erase a letter you've already sent. And then nowadays, of course, you've been out texting and you have this other thing like, you know, WhatsApp or Viber. And then you send it and they've read it in 10 seconds after you send it and you go, oh my God, why didn't I think of this? So it's a problem. It's a problem, but usually if you find yourself saying something or thinking something heavy, it's better to go and just take a walk. You know, work out your presence. One thing about anger is a physical component to it. It's not only mental and in the heart, but it's actually part of the body. And if you don't dissipate it somehow or other, you can get very sick. It's shown that many people with cancer, have this repressed anger. So I'm not saying to express it by getting angry at someone, but there's other ways, physical action, like take a run, take a walk, go play soccer, you know, whatever you have to do. I usually take a walk, a long walk. And then when I come back, and chant, of course, and then you come back, you just see things in the right perspective. You see, it wasn't the end of the world. And then also if someone criticizes me, I understand, I mean, it's painful, yes. But then I understand, what is Krishna teaching me? Something happens. Krishna's teaching me something. And I have a choice to respond properly. Even if that person was angry without, or critical without any reason, still, it's still my responsibility to respond in a Krishna conscious way. Their anger never excuses my misbehavior. You always have to take responsibility. that you got angry at me, I hate you. That's not Krishna conscious. What I take it as, if someone gets angry at me, or criticizes me, not many people get angry, they criticize me. Because the higher position you got, the more people you got criticizing you. And you can Google any leader, ISKCON leader's name on the internet, and you'll find all sorts of criticism. And so, I mean, just like there's even magazines criticizing ISKCON gurus. Like Back to Prabhupada, there's a Back to Prabhupada magazine that criticizes ISKCON gurus. So, if we get angry in return, or we blame the person, referring back to the Bhagavatam first canto, where Dharma the Bull indicated that if you blame the person who's doing something wrong to you, you're just as responsible. Dharma the Bull didn't blame Kali, that was the story. Because he understood Krishna was there, Krishna arranged that. So why am I getting criticized? I have some lesson to learn. So, and what is that lesson? Usually humility, like that. And I have to respond, or should respond, by being loving towards the person who prays. So what I do is I actually pray for the person who's criticizing me. I don't pray that he'll die. I pray for his benefit or her benefit. Yeah, that's really hard.
The other side of it, because
it's the Bhajan, the Manasa
Grover. The Bhajan is the whole Mahabharata.
Yeah.
But you just say, my answer is enough.
Yeah.
That really hindered you. It leads to the next thing. The other one, you think Chani Pandit, he says that instead of writing to the most sweeter
than
sugar is fixed.
Yeah.
You can also kill the person.
You can kill him.
And he knows that he doesn't have the problem with his person. And then, as Rupa Goswami says, as soon as jiva comes, it touches ego, which is aging going on.
Yes.
Anger comes in. And then when anger comes in, and what happens is the whole thing, anger, loves, greed, all takes over. Then we forget that we are the seventh person.
Yes.
And you have to really enjoy the spiritual bliss, then you have to become seven in everybody. So, you contemplate anger and greed.
Yep. That's the problem. So, we have to learn how to deal with this anger. And we don't get angry in return with someone who's angry with us. Yes.
One more. Sometimes people are very good at externally not expressing the pain but internally harboring.
Yeah, that's very bad.
And then they work on it to try and endlessly do some harm to the other party.
Yes.
These people are really difficult to protect. In that case, how could such a person be helped?
Sometimes they can't. Sometimes they can't be helped. I mean, there's...
Do they come under the category of envious who should be avoided?
Yes. Sometimes they can't be helped. I mean, if you ever take professional courses in management, you'll learn that sometimes you run into, like, a really negative person, you're not going to change them. I mean, Krishna can change them after many births, but... You know, some people just, there's nothing you could do. You have to, what's that called in emergency medicine? When you come across people at a scene and you only help the people who can be helped? There's a name for it. I forget the name of it right now. I'm someone who will remember it. Like if you come across an accident scene, there's an explosion. And there's everyone's lying on the ground, and certain people you can't do anything about, and certain people you can save. So you concentrate on the people you can save. That's practical. There's a name for that. There's a technical name, and I'll remember it later. So you concentrate on the people you can save. You don't try to. I mean, there's some people just can't change, and you see this like. You know, there's people who are attacking ISKCON, for example, because they have some of their own their personal issues, you can't change them. It's like trying to straighten a dog's tail. That's not my expression, you know. That's a Vedic expression, you know. And you could just go like that, the dog's tail.
Even if you keep that tail, that's still tuned for maybe.
And it still will.
It
still will curl up, you know. So. That's Prabhupada's expression. I didn't come up with that. I don't get the credit for it. So I think we have to end now because we have a holy today, right? And that's in Nandi, beginning at 10 or 10:30. And I'll be there for part of it, enjoying. Yeah. How do you make prayer? You can't.
Somebody criticizes you, we say he's your best friend. How could that be best friend?
No, you can't. That's just in your mind. You don't make him best friend externally. You think of him, no, you think he's my best friend because he's helping me in spiritual life. That's why. You don't go up to him and just embrace him. Or else you get bitten. You know, that's the way I think, that he's helping me become humble. If someone says to me, you're proud, I take that as Krishna. I am proud. So I have to just learn how to deal with it. Everything that happens is happening because of Krishna. And, of course, we're responsible for things that we can do. But Krishna is responsible, you know, for his devotee. If something happens, it's not our fault or, you know, our doing.
I was very impressed by one thing.
What?
That I learned. Because today I noticed that in me. When these criticisms were coming up of all the gurus,
yeah.
Then you have said that they haven't criticized me and I'm waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. So that's true. There was a magazine, like I mentioned the name of the magazine before, where they criticized the gurus and they were going through, you know, you criticized Kamal Krishnamurti, you know, all the different devotees, and they said, and I would look through the magazine for my name, and I got very, very disappointed, you know. And then finally they came out one was about, you know, a little article about me or something like that. Oh yeah, I had written an article on Dandabhats a number of years ago that says one should love oneself too, you know, because we're a spirit soul. And then they criticized that he's in Maya, you know. And I thought, this is great. They've written about me. Finally, I'm prominent at least. Because the worst possible thing for anyone is for everyone to think that they're nothing. It's better for someone to think you're bad than to think you're nothing. You know, it's just horrible for someone to ignore you. It's like with my mother, the worst punishment she could give me was she would ignore me. I mean, I said, just hit me at least, or doing something. And she would look through me like I didn't exist. And I thought, this is torture, you know. And she said, oh my God, what am I going to do? So that's the worst punishment you can give to a kid. It just make believe they don't exist. They talk and you don't hear them. They go in front of you and you don't see them. You say, you know, I used to have a daughter. You know, anyway. I used to have a son, you know. So I became very happy when I read my name and being criticized. So, anyway, we have to end. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.